بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his Muslim followers from whatever he feared for them. We are still learning about an era of Muslim history known as the Umayyad era, Al-Hiqbatul Umayyya. And we said it started with Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan in the year 41, and then he died in the year 60. His son Yazid became the ruler of the Muslims without being approved by Ahlul Halli wal Aqd. Hence, his rulership was not a rightful rulership. He was not a caliph for the Muslims. During his rulership, he appointed very tyrant people who killed thousands of Muslims. One of those killings was the killing of Al-Imam Al-Husayn radiyallahu anhu and his family and relatives in Karbala in the year 61. And then we said that the army of Yazid under the command of Muslim ibn Uqba came to Al-Madina in Dhul Hijjah of the year 63, and for 3 days they killed people of Al-Madina, they took their money and also raped their women. And that was in Al-Harrah event or incursion, Mawqi'atul Harrah. And after this happened, then the commander Muslim ibn Uqba was on his way to Mecca and he died on the way. Another person called Husayn ibn Numayr, he led this army to Mecca to fight the people of Mecca under the rulership or the command of Abdullah ibn Zubayr, who refused to acknowledge the rulership of Yazid, and this army came to fight him. They fought the people of Mecca for a period of 3 months, and Yazid ibn Muawiyah died at the age of 38 in Rabi'un al-Awwal of the year 64. So that army went to Al-Madinah in Dhul Hijjah 63, and Yazid died in Rabi'un al-Awwal, means few months later, of 64. And when Yazid died, this army that put Mecca under siege left the area to Ash-Sham after having thrown fiery shots using catapult at Mecca and its buildings. One of these buildings was Al-Kaaba itself. It cracked and it needed repair. So that was in Al-Madinah in Mecca, and in Mecca. In Al-Basra, there was Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. This man, the people there hated him. He was worried that he would be killed, so he ran away of Al-Basra. After the death of Yazid, people wanted to appoint his son Muawiyah ibn Yazid. However, this Muawiyah ibn Yazid refused to become a caliph. He went and isolated himself somewhere, and a short time after that, he died. So this is how far we got in our previous lesson. Now, while these things are happening, now there is no caliph. Yazid died, his son refused and died. So the Muslims did not have a caliph, a head of a state at that time. And chaos, you know, started spreading among the Muslim lands. And Abdullah ibn Zubayr, although he was respected and was leading the people of Mecca, he was not acknowledged as a caliph. So the Muslims were without a caliph for that amount of time. And there was no person upon whom all the Muslims agreed to be the next caliph yet. And because of that, many fitnas, many tribulations started erupting, emerging in different types, in different areas of the Muslim land. And these fitnas were emerging based on tribal solidarity, tribal, you know, feelings. People who belong to a tribe would support their own tribe against anyone else from other tribes, regardless of other issues, just because he's from the tribe. So this is called tribal asabiyya, qabaliyya, tribal solidarity. Now, among these tribulations were two, you know, serious ones. One started in Al-Basra and another in Khurasan. Khurasan is the area where Iran nowadays is. Now, how did the one in Al-Basra start? It started among the people from Al-Yemen. You may know the people of Al-Yemen were the original Arabs. So among them, there were two sections or clans, Rabi'ah and Banu Tamim. And they had some clashes among them. One of the chiefs of Rabi'ah was killed. One of the Khawarij killed him. But the people of Rabi'ah thought that someone from Tamim killed him, and they did not need like a reason to start fighting with them. So this tribal solidarity, asabiyya al-qabaliyya, just moved among these people, and then they wanted to attack Tamim and kill them. However, the head of Banu Tamim was a very patient, wise person known as Al-Ahnaf ibn Qais. He was an example of patience, of hilm. It means he would not be provoked easily. He always, you know, thinks of a solution that is peaceful. So when Rabi'ah came, they mobilized their forces to attack Banu Tamim. His own people, Banu Tamim, they told Al-Ahnaf, their leader, Rabi'ah are now in the masjid. These people are, you know, gathered in al-masjid, means they are close to us now, they are about to attack us. So he said, so what? Why would they not be in the masjid? You are not deserving of the masjid more than they do. You are Muslim, they are Muslim, so all of us are entitled to be in the masjid. So you should not worry about it. And then they, these Banu Rabi'ah, came, you know, in large numbers. They came to some public land, some public place, and was close to Banu Tamim. So, again, the people of Banu Tamim told their chief, Al-Ahnaf, look where they came. They are now around us, close to us. But he said, don't worry about it. This is a public place. They are entitled to be in it, just like you are. So there is nothing, no problem about it. So he didn't want things to, you know, flare among them and start fighting. He wanted a peaceful solution for the conflict. So then, some of people of Tamim went to the people of Rabi'ah now, and they were asked, "Where are you going?" They said, "We want to fight you." And then one of the women in Tamim, she wanted to make fun of her own people who are, you know, preventing themselves from fighting. She brought a bakhur burning, tool, and she started telling the men, okay, just take some bakhur, meaning that you're not fighters, you are just like women. So you are coward. And then when Banu Rabi'ah and Banu Tamim became close to each other, Al-Ahnaf tried also to like calm people down. They said, okay, we'll pay you blood money for the person who was killed. Although they did not admit or they did not say we killed him, still he just wanted no bloodshed. So he said, we'll pay you blood, we'll pay you money for the blood that was shed from among you. We'll pay you 10 times, just avoid fighting. And still, Banu Rabi'ah refused to accept this blood money. Then this Ahnaf, he said, okay, it looks like there is no way but to fight them. So then he wore his war gear, he organized his people, and then he fought against Banu Rabi'ah. He won, and then the fitna died down. They reconciled after the fighting. Things calmed down between them. So this is concerning the fitna that started in Al-Basra between two tribes or clans of Al-Yaman people, Rabi'ah and Banu Tamim. It stopped. Now for the area of Khurasan, the leader of that area left the area and he appointed a person behind him who was very daring and very firm, named Abdullah ibn Khazim. And this person, Abdullah ibn Khazim, he had bias against the Arabs of Al-Yaman. He did not like them. So he had scorn for them. He did not have respect for them. He was mistreating them, being the ruler. He was mistreating them whenever the opportunity opened for him. And that, of course, made trouble erupt between people. For example, among his soldiers, there were Arabs from Al-Yaman and there were other than Arabs. And this allowed the hatred between sections of the army to happen. And they fought among themselves, and this led to the shed of the blood of many, many Muslims. 4 years kept on erupting, calming down, erupting, calming down, and so on, until later Abdullah ibn al-Khazim himself was killed. And because of these tribulations, those problems among the Muslims, for different reasons, al-Khawarij, those who remember, they left al-Imam Ali's army and started their own group and started attacking the Muslims, killing them. These people became strong now because the Muslims were busy with their own inner differences. And they could bring those weakly minded people into their lines. And those people who would like to have spoils to go and, rob people, they found that Al-Khawarij were, a good place to be with, because they can achieve their, desires. And because the Khawarij, those renegades, became strong, they started invading, attacking different villages, of Muslims, taking their money, killing their people, whether these people were old, women, or children. They were killing, indiscriminately, without any difference between whether the people were children, women, or old people. And nowadays we have that group that claims to be Muslim killing people as such, just like Al-Khawarij at that time. Now Banu Umayyah in Ash-Sham, remembers Yazid died, they had no ruler yet. They sat among themselves, those Umayyad people, in Ash-Sham, and they consulted among themselves, and they came to an agreement to appoint a man called Marwan ibn al-Hakam, to be the next caliph. However, that agreement was not accepted in other areas of the Muslim land, in Khurasan, in Persia, in Iraq, Egypt, and still some areas in Damascus. All of these at that time agreed to have Abdullah ibn Zubayr the caliph for the Muslims. So now you have some sector of the Muslims who agreed about to have Marwan ibn al-Hakam, and then you have another sector of the Muslims who agreed to have Abdullah ibn Zubayr to be the caliph. So Banu Umayyah, those Umayyads, had only two areas, Jordan and Palestine, loyal to them. So as a result, when Marwan was chosen, he mobilized armies to regain control over those areas to make them loyal to the Umayyads. So he took over Egypt, he took over Damascus, which was his capital previously, and he took other areas from Syria. Ibn Zubayr, Abdullah, in response, he sent an army under the command of his brother, Mus'ab ibn Zubayr, to fight the Umayyads in Palestine. And despite the courage of Mus'ab, despite his daring, despite the fighting that his army showed up, the army of Mus'ab ibn Zubayr was defeated by the Umayyad army. Someone mentioned the courage of Mus'ab. He said, I haven't seen a man as courageous as Mus'ab. He would be fighting, on foot or riding. I saw him in the way. He would dismount. He would kill on foot until his blood, flow down to his feet, and he would not retreat. So his army was defeated by the Umayyad's army. Then Marwan ibn al-Hakam directed Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, remember the man who was the governor of Basra and ran away for fear of his life. He directed him, made him the leader of an army, to fight the people of Iraq, the ones who now paid allegiance to Abdullah ibn Zubayr. So he supposed to, come to Iraq and control al-Basra and Kufa. And we mentioned in previous lessons, the one who controlled Basra and Kufa would control all of Iraq at the time. So the people of Iraq knew of the coming of this army, and this motivated a sector of the people of Iraq who had let down al-Husayn radiyallahu anhu. Remember, his relative Muslim ibn Aqil went to Iraq and they agreed in 1,000 to support al-Husayn. Then later, after Muslim was killed, people just did not keep their promise, which resulted in the killing of al-Husayn on his way to Iraq. So these people felt sorry, regretful about their letting down al-Husayn. So they repented of that sin, and they became to be known as At-Tawwabun. So this group of people, At-Tawwabun, they said, look, we let down al-Husayn. We did a bad thing when he was alive. At least, let's stand to those who killed him. Let's stand against and fight those who killed him after his death. While he was alive, we let him down. We didn't support him. At least now, after his death, we would fight against those who killed him. And so they mobilized their powers, and then they made their leader a man called Sulaiman ibn Surad. Sulaiman ibn Surad. He was one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when these things were happening, the Amir of Kufa, appointed by Abdullah ibn Zubayr, received the news of this army coming, Also, he received the news of the appointment of Sulaiman ibn Surad as the head of this group. Abdullah ibn Zubayr approved. He let them know that, and he encouraged them to fight the army of Umayyah that is coming. So they started preparing for the fight. They came about 5,000 men, and all of these have decided, were determined to go out and face the army of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. Now the governor, the emir of Kufa, was a wise man. He said, why don't you wait? If you want to wash the shame that you did by letting down al-Husayn, wait till everyone is ready to fight. Don't just go on your own. Let everybody in our area be ready. Then we go out to fight the army. So they told him, leave us alone. We will have victory. If we win, then that's a victory. If we were defeated, then we die as martyrs. Then he told them, then go and carry out what you wish to do. So they did not listen to him. Now, while these things were happening, a man called Al-Mukhtar ibn Ubaidillah al-Thaqafi in Bani Thaqif, he showed up and he claimed that he wants to avenge the death of Al-Husayn. And he claimed that Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah appointed him to carry out that mission. So he claimed that he would avenge the death of Al-Husayn, and that Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah, he appointed him to follow, to carry out that mission. You remember, Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah is the brother of Al-Husayn from his father Ali. So Al-Husayn's mother was Fatima, the mother of Muhammad was Al-Hanafiyyah, a slave woman. So he was half-brother of Al-Husayn. So this man played a trick, claimed that he was going to avenge the blood of Al-Husayn, the killing of Al-Husayn, and then the half-brother of Al-Husayn was the one who sent him to do that. But he was a liar. He wanted just to be a leader. So he started bringing people to his side, saying, Muhammad ibn al-Mahdi, ibn al-Hanafiyyah is the Mahdi, the awaited Mahdi that the Prophet mentioned in the Hadith. I am his assistant. I am his wazir. So he said, Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyyah, who sent me to avenge the death of al-Husayn, is really al-Mahdi, the one we are waiting for. And I am his assistant. So some people believed him, the weakly, feeble-minded people. They believed him and joined him. But most of the people did not buy his trick. They went away from him. They would not, replace him for, replace the companion of the Prophet Sulaiman ibn Surad for him. They would not, substitute him in place of Sulaiman ibn Surad, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, Sulaiman being the leader of those people, he looked at his people. They were, equipment are there. They are ready now to go out to meet the army of Ubaidullah. And this happened in the year 65 Hijri. Remember, Yazid died in Rabi'ul Awwal 64. So this is now the year 65. So that much time has passed before such an encounter would take place. So Sulaiman went towards Al-Kufa. He called those who paid allegiance to him to join the army. And then instead of 16,000 people who paid allegiance to him, only 5,000 went out. You could see those people in that area, they never keep their word. They let down those whom they promised. So he took those people, 5,000, to meet the enemy. And while on his way to meet the army, the enemy, the people were dropping down until those 5,000 now became 1,000. Despite this happening, this did not affect the morale of Sulaiman. He was not intimidated. He continued in his way to fight the enemy. Now, the governor of Al-Kufa, who, you know, told them to wait until everybody is ready and fight, he told them, he sent them a message, why don't you come back and wait until everybody is ready to help you? So we'll be all together. Sulaiman, subhanallah, ibn Surad, refused to do that. He said, I know you mean good for us, but either we defeat these people or we die knowing why we are fighting or dying. So the governor of Al-Kufa did not force him to come back. He told him, do whatever you wish to do. So they went and they encountered this army coming from Ash-Sham. And it happened that before the encounter took place, the army of Ash-Sham received reinforcement, about 8,000, to help them at that time. Despite these facts happening, losing people on the way, and the enemy getting more reinforcement, Sulaiman still did not want to retreat. Then the fighting took place, and they managed to kill a lot of people from the enemy. They fought them for 3 days. But on the third day, because of the small number that Sulaiman had, people got tired of the fighting, so weakness showed up among his lines. Sulaiman looked at them, and then he stood among them, addressed them with few words, encouraging them. He dismounted his horse, meaning that I'm not going to run even if I wish to run. There is no way to run if I'm on foot. And he said, O Ibad Allah, O slaves of Allah, whoever is truthful in repenting, let him follow me. Because some people said we are repenting for letting down Al-Hussein. So he said, whoever was or is truthful in his repentance, let him follow me. And he broke the sheath, the cover of his sword, meaning that I'm not going to put the sword back. I'm just going to keep on fighting until death. So many of people who were with him did the same thing. They fought fiercely until most of them got killed. Also, during that time of chaos, three famous groups of Al-Khawarij showed up. Al-Khawarij got separated or divided into about 20 groups. And each group says about the other group, they are kafir. They are accusing each other of kufr. But the three most famous groups of Al-Khawarij showed up during that time. Al-Azariqa, and these are the followers of Nafi' ibn al-Azraq. Al-Sufriya, followers of Ziyad ibn al-Asfar. And some people say Abdullah ibn Suffar. And the third one was Al-Ibadiyya, the followers of Abdullah ibn Ibad. And despite these people, these three groups and the other groups of Al-Khawarij, despite that they all agreed to fight Ahlus Sunnah, they had differences among themselves. And as we said, one group would accuse of the other group of blasphemy, wal-iyadu billah. Such renegades, such Khawarij, got extinguished. Except Al-Ibadiyya, there is a very small, you know, percentage of them nowadays in Oman, like southern Arabia, and in few other places. And these people, by showing up, they placed a big harm on Muslims, especially the first group, Al-Azariqa. They would not refrain from killing women and children. Just, they were, you know, killing every kind of people. Now, in that year, 65, Marwan ibn al-Hakam, who was agreed upon to become the next caliph, died. And his death was because he was trying to have his son Abdul Malik succeed him, just like Muawiyah did. He made sure that his son Yazid succeed him. So Marwan was trying, doing effort to pave the way to his son Abdul Malik to become the caliph after him. But Marwan married Umm Khalid. Umm Khalid was the widow of Yazid. After Yazid died, Marwan married her. So some people wanted that the caliphate after Marwan would go to Khalid, the son of Yazid, the son of Muawiyah. So they wanted Yazid. Yazid died and he left Muawiyah and Khalid. So they wanted the other son of Yazid to become the caliph after Marwan. Marwan, because he wanted his son to become the caliph, on purpose, in public, in front of all people, he insulted Khalid, so that people would have no respect for him. So they would not, if they don't respect him, they're not going to say, let him be the caliph. They're going to find someone else. So he did insult him and insulted his mother, his own wife, the widow of Yazid. So when Khalid was insulted, he came to his mother very sad and upset about it. She told him, don't worry about it. Don't mention anything about it. So when Marwan came to her after a while, he told her, did Khalid tell you anything about me? He wanted to see if the news reached her. She said, Khalid respects you a lot. He doesn't say any bad thing about you. So he felt reassured that his relation with his wife is not tampered now, is not tainted. So he slept, and then when he was asleep, she brought a pillow, she put it in his face, and she suffocated him and killed him. So his son, Abdul Malik, Ibn Marwan, now, he became the leader of the people of Ash-Sham. And he was very shrewd and very firm. But he was an unjust person. He was tyrant. So Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, then Yazid ibn Muawiyah, then Marwan ibn al-Hakam, now Abdul Malik ibn Marwan would be the fourth to rule the Umayyad dynasty. The Khawarij, again, because of these differences among the Muslims, they became stronger, and they started going from one land to another, from one area to another, you know, attacking people, killing people, killing children, you know, kicking out the governors of the Umayyads. And they started, you know, defeating one army after another, one army after another, until Abdullah ibn Zubayr directed his brother Mus'ab to them. And Mus'ab, he called upon a man called Al-Muhallab ibn Abi Sufra. And he made him the leader of an army to fight the renegades, Al-Khawarij. So some people, when Al-Muhallab became the commander, they said a certain sentence, Karnibu wa Dawlibu. Karnibu wa Dawlibu. It means addressing the enemy. They say, you know, go wherever you want. You're not going to be able to hide from Al-Muhallab. This is how his fame was. That Al-Muhallab has come to you, there is no way for you to run away. And he was a very shrewd person. He was very brave. And he fought Al-Khawarij for a long time. He went to Al-Basra. Al-Khawarij almost entered Al-Basra and controlled it. He kept on fighting them until he drove them away out of it. And he kept on fighting them until they started retreating one time at, you know, one phase at a time. And Al-Muhallab used to take care of his soldiers very well. He would fight, you know, observe them, take care of them every night. And one time, for example, if he goes somewhere and he sees soldiers unguarded, they are like in danger, he would teach them how to, you know, to dig some ditch and make sure that they are safe. So he would keep the guards awake, the soldiers always ready. If the need came up, they are already ready to fight. Now the Khawarij were known for attacking people at night. So when they came to attack the army of Al-Muhallab, they could not like penetrate them and surprise them, because Al-Muhallab had taken all these measures against them. Then they said, okay, we're going to fight this Muhallab in, you know, daytime, and we're going to have a decisive battle against him. So they gathered more of themselves, and they were better equipped than Al-Muhallab's army. They had better horses, better, you know, arms. The people of Al-Basra were the army of Al-Muhallab, were not like, you know, professional soldiers. So everybody who had a weapon, they just went out carrying it. Al-Khawarij, they had already, you know, went to different areas, and they took the arms and the weapons and the resources of those areas and used them to their benefit. So they were well equipped versus the army of Al-Muhallab. The two armies came together. They fought against each other. The Khawarij, you know, charged at the people. Many of the people of Al-Basra, this army, ran away. As far as to Al-Basra, it means kept on running away until they came back to Al-Basra. That's how far they went, because they were afraid of Al-Khawarij. So they thought that now everybody is defeated, so they went to Al-Basra to defend their families. This happening did not affect the heart of Al-Muhallab. He went ahead of them to a place which is elevated, and he started calling some of those retreating people, "Where are you going? Come back to me." And the first who came back to him was his own tribe, then other people, until he had about 3,000 people around him. So he looked at, he was happy with the number and their equipment. He said, "Allah may give victory to a small number against big number." So that's mentioned in Al-Quran. So he said, "So although now you have 3,000, you're not that little, and you are the people of patience, you are the horsemen, the fighters." So he started, you know, giving them good praise. He said, "You are not weak, you cannot retreat, or else this will bring harm upon us." He said, "Let every one of you carry 10 stones, 10 rocks, and let's walk towards the camp of our enemy. Because now they think they already defeated us, so they are relaxed. So let's walk back to their camp. Every one of us carries 10 rocks. And we're going to use these rocks against our enemy. And I am hopeful that we're going to kill their leader." So when this happened, the Khawarij were surprised, because they did not expect the enemy, the Muhallab, to come back to them. And the Khawarij had, you know, good armor about their body, covering most of their body. So Al-Muhallab ordered his people to throw these stones in the faces of these renegades. So their bodies were covered, but not their faces. So people started running, throwing these rocks at the faces of Al-Khawarij. So when the Khariji, this renegade person, is hit with the stone, they get busy with taking care of themselves. They have the pain, they want to remove the blood. So now the people of Al-Muhallab could approach the renegade, and then it's easy to stab them with a sword or to hit them with, you know, a spear, because they were busy with their injury. And they managed to kill a large number of the renegades, Al-Khawarij, and kill their leader as Al-Muhallab had hoped before. Then the people of Al-Basra, they chased those spread out people of Al-Khawarij. Now they are different places. And they killed them. All of them were defeated. 7,000 of Al-Khawarij were killed. And because of that, that battle was a decisive battle. The evil of Al-Khawarij, at least for a while, was away from the Muslims. Bifadlillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet alayhi salatu was salam had mentioned, called Al-Khawarij kilabun nar, the dogs of hellfire. And he ordered the Muslims to fight those Khawarij when they showed up. The Prophet said that who fights them, he will have the reward of a shaheed. If he is killed while fighting them, then he is shaheed, a martyr. Al-Imam Ali delayed fighting them until they started killing Muslims. Then he fighted them. He fought them and he managed to kill many of them. They went away and then they regrouped during the Umayyad's time. Some scholars said that Al-Khawarij are not blasphemers. That's why Ali did not fight them. But that's not what it is. Al-Khawarij, among their beliefs, they believe that the Muslim who commits enormous sin is not a Muslim, is a kafir. If a person drank alcohol or committed zina or left at the prayer, they consider him non-Muslim, kafir. And they also said that whoever does not rebel against the ruler who is tyrant is a kafir. Things that are against the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And some of these groups, remember, we said about 20 groups, Al-Khawarij, some of them, they believed, that was part of their belief, that it is permissible to kill the Sunni women and their children because they considered Ahlul Sunnah as kuffar. That's how it went. So many, many people, because of their bloody policy, were afraid of them. Look what ISIS is doing now. They're terrorizing people, burning people alive, chopping their heads. To what? To terrorize people to become afraid of them, of fighting them. It's the same policy. Like these are the new Khawarij now, these ISIS. Now Muslims, some Muslims fought Al-Khawarij, those renegades, for about 20 years, you know, defeating their army, one army at a time, until, alhamdulillah, we got rid of them. One time, 200 Khariji went out, and they defeated 1,000 Sunni Muslims, because people were afraid of them. And most of these people of Al-Khawarij were supported by religiously ignorant people from some tribes who were just, you know, have hearts, they were rough, they were ignorant, they wanted to take money from people, so they were used to fighting, they would not go away of fighting. And they used these tribes, they used to attack other people before Islam. So now they're just continuing to do what they do, you know, raid people, take their money, and so on. So these people agreed with Al-Khawarij for the same goal. Inshallah, we will continue next time. لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.